Hello again, and welcome to part two of our Easter special, The Passion of the Heist. If you're hearing this and you haven't heard part one, definitely go and listen to that before you listen to this one. And once again, this is a campaign that was designed by Raptor Heist on Reddit called The Passion of the Heist, which is described as the only one-shot adventure with the courage to ask, what if the resurrection of Jesus was actually an Ocean's 11-style heist movie? I hope you enjoy part two.
You wake up inside a small tomb.
Is it the Banana Family tomb?
No.
Oh, damn it. No. They couldn't even give me that dignity.
You have been dishonored and are thrown into a tomb with your compatriots.
I cast light.
Oh. Well, great. Josh had already done that.
Oh.
A magic light hovers in the air and is illuminating everything around you. Josh is just sitting there against the wall and is very bored and is counting pebbles on the ground.
Josh, you're the worst.
My lord, you have awoken and you're safe. I'm so amazed at the fact that you're alive and doing well.
Oh, he's happy to see you too. He wasn't sure if you guys were going to wake up. It took you quite some time. But the other apostles have done a great job. And he points at all of your weapons and the specialty starting items that he has brought with him for you guys to share.
Fantastic.
Now it's time for me to share.
Quick question while you share. Does our being unconscious count as a long rest?
Sure does.
Oh, good.
Fantastic. I needed those four hit
points.
Not
that I took any damage, but yes. Thank you.
Oh, look at all these fun things to look at.
Ooh, gloves of spider climb. I love spider climb.
What's happening? What are we looking at?
Magic banana. That's totally for Publius.
There are some pop-ups on your roll 20.
Oh, I can't see them. Hang on.
Cheap egg. Oh.
Gotta be in the...
Wait, sorry. Do I have to press the launch game?
Yep.
Damn it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'm in now. I'm in.
Where are there
now.
So many egg things?
There you are.
So many. They're stopping.
I'm almost.
They're
running
so
out of room.
Here.
Almost done.
Oh,
I'm so glad I have a 32-inch screen.
Classic.
Yeah, I don't think there's gonna be space on my screen for all of this stuff that's happening.
No, that's fine.
Oh my god, the trampoline of Turin. I am slain.
If someone wants to read these all,
globs of spider climb. Allows one to crawl across vertical surfaces and ceilings.
Olive branch of dowsing. Allows one to detect what is on the other side of a wall or other surface less than 2 feet thick. Can be used to detect secret rooms or passageways.
Rabbit slippers. Allows the wearer to leap 25 feet vertically and horizontally using half of their move action.
Egg potion. Basically two egg yolks in a bottle. When consumed, player becomes enclosed in a giant egg, which they can break out of any time.
Magic banana appears like a normal banana, can be eaten for 2d6 temporary hit points. Peel can be placed on the ground as a trap. Target must succeed on DC 15 perception check or slip on the peel, wiping out in the most dramatic way possible, being incapacitated for one turn and taking 2d4 plus 2 bludgeoning damage. I love this.
That is so made for you.
That is made for him. The Trampoline of Turin. 5x5 foot trampoline that folds out from a compact state to reveal a smiley face. Can be used to break the fall of one small or medium creature at a time. To drop the trampoline quietly from greater 5 feet, player must succeed on a DC 11 intelligence check to get the angle just right.
Cheap egg. Looks like a regular chicken egg, but when smashed, an illusory mob of baby chicks will swarm out from that point and scatter in all directions for 5 minutes.
Crown of Thorns. Hurts to wear, but grants one AC against magical attacks and advantage in saving throws against magic.
Portal Spyglass. Can be used to make a portal as far away as can be seen by the spyglass. The portal is only about the circumference of a large jar, just big enough to fit one's arm through.
Ring of Boneless Chicken. Allows the wearer to summon one boneless chicken every 60 seconds. Chicken is still alive, fully sentient, and will scream out in pain as long as it is alive.
Cross of Inattention. Emblem warm around the neck. Wearer can avoid the attention of up to four creatures of their choice while holding a T-pose. The pose must be held for the entire duration. A DC 8 constitution save is required to keep holding the T-pose at the end of each 5-minute interval. The DC is increased by 2 after each interval.
Lantern of Silence. Handheld lantern that can be activated by twisting the bottom. When activated, it creates a 5-foot by 5-foot cube around itself. Everything within the cube is completely silent, including voices. Bright light shines from the lantern while it is active.
Basket of Holding, times 5. Handheld basket that can hold up to 500 pounds with a volume of 65 cubic feet.
Breathing Bubble allows wearer to breathe underwater. That's pretty straightforward.
Holy Pocket Shark. Shark totem that manifests a massive shark composed of bright white light when thrown with force. Shark thrashes around, dealing 3d8 plus 4 radiant damage with a 15-foot radius. Creatures that succeed on a DC 15 dexterity skill check only take 1d4 damage.
And the last one. Ring of Second Dimension. Wearer becomes two-dimensional. Can be used to slide under doors and such. I think that's all of them. There are a lot of great choices there.
I love
and some
how we did it
ones.
In the most chaotic yeah. order.
would it be a D&D game?
It's D&D, it's chaotic? Chaos time.
There's enough for each of us to get one basket of holding and then three other items?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm taking the banana. That's.
I want.
Of course you are.
The Holy Pocket Shark.
I'm in it for the Crown of Thorns.
I was going to take the Crown of Thorns.
I want to get the cheap, cheap egg.
You can take the cheap, cheap egg, Ari. I would get benefit from either the Ring of Second Dimension or the Gloves of Spider Climb. Does anybody else want either of those? Okay, I'll take those too.
How many can we take each?
Three plus okay. a basket of
If nobody wants it, I want egg potion. Just because I think that it would be thematically appropriate for a character that's submerged.
Yep.
Can we just throw away the ring of
boneless
chicken?
Yes, I want all of the chickens. I want that one too.
But that one makes the chickens that are
so
abominations.
So Ari wants the cheap cheap egg, the egg mm-hmm. potion, and the ring
I
of boneless
do.
Chicken.
Those are my items I want.
Okay.
Okay, I'm taking the Holy Pocket Shark and the olive branch.
I took that already.
Okay, I want to take the olive branch of dowsing because I feel like I'm going to need to be on the front line, so I'm going to need to detect things ahead of us. So I'm taking that, and I'm taking the banana.
Yeah, I'll take the cross of inattention. So I'll just T-pose my way through things.
I think the rabbit slippers would fit nicely in the bottom of a pair of stilts.
Okay. So everyone has two?
Yes.
Okay. Two plus the basket.
Third choice for everyone else.
Portal spyglass.
Okay.
I'll take an egg potion.
Okay.
There's
nope,
two
we
of
got
them.
The egg potion.
Oh no,
gone.
Two uses. Sorry. What's
so
left?
Breathing bubble, I think. The lantern of silence. Trampoline.
Okay, I'm taking breathing bubble because I feel like I have good athletics, so I'll be good at swimming.
Okay. And David, what do you want?
Neither of those are really good fits for me. I guess the lantern is fine.
Great. I will take the trampoline. Is that three for everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Who has the ring of second dimension?
Me.
All right. All right. Everybody's got three things. It's going to be chaos because I've forgotten.
Well, we can all read out our three for you.
Nope. Going to forget.
That's right. No, we'll just pull it out when it becomes relevant and surprise you.
Okay. Yep.
When it's important.
Yeah.
Chaos again.
Chaos always.
Because some of these might just be a Chekhov's gun situation where we just don't mention them because they have nothing to do with what's going to happen.
Or then you use one really weirdly. Like, oh, I need this for some reason.
Yeah. But we'll only bring it up if it becomes relevant to the plot.
I tend to forget all of my loot ever. So.
Yeah, same.
Hopefully I won't this time.
I'll put on the cross of inattention and immediately T-pose. No.
Josh points to, I think it's Skatos, who has the olive branch, right?
No.
Banana!
I have the olive branch. Sorry. I'm already losing track.
Okay. That's fine. So Josh points to you and says, find our way out of here.
All right. I raise the olive branch and I say, I'm not doing this because it's a gesture of peace. I'm doing this because it's a gesture of get us the hell out of here.
So you have located the tunnels behind the tomb. I need you guys to try to break down the wall.
I will do that with my strength.
All right, roll me a strength check.
Can I do athletics?
Yeah.
Or do it? Well, wait, is this an attack roll? What is this?
No. This is a I'm strong and I'm gonna...
I'm gonna do that.
Bust a wall.
Can I cast Eldritch Blast the wall too?
No. I'm doing this with my human non-magic strength. Do not upstage me.
You show that dirt, who's boss? Skiatos crawls out.
I rolled a 6 and I have 6 athletics, that's 12.
Alright, you have guidance. So roll a 1d4.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
So I rolled a d4 and I got a 4.
Awesome.
Skiatos is so inspiring with his guidance.
Yeah, extremely.
Oh, some good guidance.
It was some great guidance because you have busted down this wall.
Yeah. Yay.
Woo! Go banana.
Human fighters. They're pretty good.
I laugh.
So you crawl out of your tomb and deeper into the hillside. The tunnels are wild. They're treacherous. They're often too narrow to stand up in, and you have to move a single file. You pass through a particularly dark and narrow section, and I need you all to roll
a
survival check.
I don't think I have any. Oh, I guess. Boy. Let's see.
I got a 13.
7 plus 2, it's a 9. Okay.
Dominique got a 5. He's feeling very claustrophobic right now. they are.
A 17 for Skiatos, who is just constantly praying in a high-pitched squeal as he works through these tunnels, but apparently avoiding any serious implications.
Amazing. So we're going to sort of go in order here.
Banana has a 10.
I need Calixta to roll a d4.
That is a 1.
Oh, no.
All right. I'm going to scoot everybody else into a little corner here. Calixta, you come over here.
Oh, great. Okay.
The tunnel abruptly ends. And there, beyond it, is a small room carved out of stone with a coffin propped up against the back wall. There are several items scattered across the floor with some broken pottery and other debris.
Okay. I am immediately distracted by this and would like to investigate to see if anything is of value.
All right. As you walk farther into the room, I'm going to need you to roll initiative.
An initiative? All by my lonesome?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. That would be a 4. Wow, what is with all the critical fails on this character?
I see you rolled another 4.
Yeah.
What is your dexterity? I bet it is better than a mummy's.
My dexterity is a 6?
Yes, it is.
Plus 6, yeah. Which makes it a 16.
So the coffin door swings open and this mummy walks towards you.
Ah!
What do you do?
I'm going to try and hit it with my short sword.
Okay.
That's a 16?
That definitely hits.
That's 4 piercing damage? That's another critical fail right there.
Wow.
For damage?
Yes. All right. So it is the mummy's turn, and the mummy is going to come into range and reach out its arm and give you a little scratch. Scratch its bony little mummy hand all across you.
Oh, no.
A 9.
My AC is higher than that.
Woohoo. Amazing. I would hope so. It's Calixta's turn again.
Okay. I have cunning action, which allows me to take a bonus action to disengage. Can I disengage and then try to run?
You're going to run away from the mummy?
Should I?
And all the items on the ground?
Oh, there. Okay. The items, there are valuable items there. Okay, I'm going to try and hit it, but I'm going to use my bonus action to yell, help! That's a 22 with my short sword.
That hits again.
I whacked it for 5 piercing damage.
You did. The rest of you are mostly lost, except for Skatos, who could probably do a perception check at this point.
That's a
15. Can hear me through his prayers.
Even through his prayers, he hears you yelling help from somewhere, but he's not sure exactly where. It sounds like you're in front of him, and that doesn't make any sense. The mummy is going to scratch you again, for this mummy can't do. He has rolled an 8.
Yep.
Calixta.
I'm going to hit him again. The 14.
Yep, that does it.
That's a 4 piercing damage.
Oh, okay. The mummy will scratch you again. 16 this time.
Can I?
You're going to do something. You're going to uncanny dodge or something? You're a pro.
I'm
going to
uncanny dodge it, which means that when an attacker that you can see hits you with an attack, you can use your reaction to halve the attacker's damage.
All right, so you take 4 damage. I need you to make a constitution save.
Oh, no. It's 12. Yep.
Yep, okay. So you are...
Just say no to necrotism, kids.
You are currently cursed.
Awesome.
Hang on, I gotta find a good cursed symbol.
Screw you!
Yeah, that's all the curse.
Let's go with this. You're cursed. So, not right now, but in like 30 seconds, I'm gonna need some more constitution saves.
Okay.
So, it's your turn to attack this mummy.
Okay, let's hit him with the sword again. It's doing well. Oh, and it's a crit. Fail.
That missed.
It does.
The mummy will attack you instead with his claws.
Yep. Twice!
No, I didn't mean to hit it twice. It's just once. No. It's the 18.
And he hits again.
Yes. I feel like you can do uncanny dodge again, isn't it? It's your reaction, right?
It is my reaction.
All right.
Like an uncanny dodge again?
Mm-hmm, you sure can.
Great, so that's 6 damage.
Let's go with 5. It is your turn one more time.
Okay, I'm going to hit him one more time with my short sword with a 19.
You definitely
hit him.
That's 5
piercing damage.
The mummy falls over dead again because he's undead, so he's dead again.
Re-dead.
Re-dead.
Re-dead. You've re-deaded the mummy.
Okay, well, do I know that I am cursed?
You will in a minute. I mean, half a minute.
All right. Well, since I don't know that in this moment, I'm going to investigate to see for valuables.
The valuables on the ground. All right. You find some
and
things.
I got a 23. The ring of making it rain. Oh. Holy cow. Okay. So I found a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I have an ancient sword. Oh, that's great. Is this a short sword?
You gotta read them out loud to your friends.
Okay. All right. So I have an ancient sword. It's better because it's old. +2 to hit, 2-handed, reaches 5 feet, 2d6 slashing damage.
Sit up.
Psi serum can be poured on a non-living object no bigger than a suit of armor to either double or half the size of the object. Enough for about 3 items. And Ring of Making It Rain allows one to create a small rain cloud over the head of one target. Requires concentration to maintain. Worth the curse.
I think Skiatos might have some interest in that one.
Well, for now, since I'm all on my own, I'm going to pocket the Psi Serum and the Ring of Making It Rain and carry the sword. Can rogues use 2-handed weapons?
No. Nope.
Okay, so I will just stick it in the back of my shirt or something so that I can run free-handed to try and find my friends again.
All right. Do a DC, or do a constitution save.
Oh, okay. It's a 3.
Oof. Okay. I need
Calixta's just having a bad day.
What am I rolling? I'm rolling a D4. You take 1 necrotic damage and absolutely know you're cursed. Now, I need you to try to find Josh and Skatos by rolling a survival check.
Okay. 14.
Good job, you found them. They're right there.
Yay. Help, guys, I'm cursed. I got cursed by a mummy.
How does the curse manifest itself?
It's hurting me.
Okay, we can't see that she's cursed. She's just hurting.
I can show you the scratch on my arm from the mummy.
Oh, is it looking really, like, infected?
It looks really gross. But okay. Josh holds your head in his hands, his oily hands, and he blesses you. And
Deus ex Josh.
You do not feel cursed anymore.
Oh, thank goodness. All right, so do I...
Praise Josh!
Praise Josh! It's...
Praise Josh! What's that old-looking sword you've got there?
You're not there.
Wait, where am I?
We're stuck in the tunnels,
you
right?
Will find out in a second. Yes, you are! All right, so...
Oh, so she's just found Josh. We're not with Josh.
You're not with Josh.
And Stiakos.
It's okay. Dominique Christosom's turn to roll a d4 for me.
All righty, I can do that. A 2!
A 2! All right. You end up coming into a room that is crumbling and flooded, and the water is at least a few feet deep. But, you know, despite that, it seems rather pleasant. There's a hole in the stone above that opens to a vibrant ray of light from the sky, and there's a small group of baby ducks who are idling about in the water. Mm. And there's an old chest floating around near the baby ducks.
How far away is the chest?
It's into the room, so it's maybe like 6 feet.
I'll cast Mage Hand to bring it over.
He's scooting it over. All right.
Yeah.
Don't squish the ducks.
Make it float towards me, but like evading the ducks, because like they're ducks. And I'm going to question, why are there ducks in an underground cavern?
There's a hole in the ceiling.
True, but confusion. I have 10 intelligence. I'm not a smart person.
Not smart. All right. So you scoot this over to you. And what do you do with it?
Put it on the ground and check to see if it opens.
It does open. But there is some movement in the water that makes the ducks angrily quack and fly away. What do you do?
It take a step back like, oh no, what's going on?
A really waterlogged mummy has risen from the water, but he's moving really slow. What do you do?
The power of Mordab compels you! And I cast Eldritch Blast.
All right.
So rolling to hit. Does a 22 hit?
Yeah, 22 hits.
Oh, that's a scary looking mummy.
7 damage.
Alright, let's roll some initiative then.
Alrighty, I can do that. 12.
I gotta roll initiative too. So you get to go again as this soggy mummy is still struggling. He's on the struggle bus.
I immediately, you know, start praying to Mordab and I cast Hex.
Okay.
And then, you know, as like the light of Mordab shines through the hole and envelops him in the hex, and he takes his constitution.
Ooh, nice.
Okay.
And then I say, blessed are the meek, and you must be gone. Use words and showcase my holy symbol to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to take a constitution saving throw with disadvantage.
21.
Ooh, yeah, he succeeds.
He was not right. Meekened.
He was not meekened.
All right, this mummy is going to close the distance.
I can close the distance. Sorry.
That's the third Disney
song. Are you
song.
Trying to get his copyrights left?
Always.
And he's going... to...
I mean, this is history of the Bible.
Pull so. You towards the water he is in.
Oh,
he's going to grab you. Does a 25 grab you?
Yes, it does.
All right. So, you are currently grappled and being held under the surface of the water.
Oh, God.
Should have taken the bubble of water breathing that I have.
Says it so smugly.
Now it's your turn. Roll a strength save to get out of here.
Ooh, that boy. Is my dump stat.
I think that laugh told you all you need to know.
Oh, not 20! 20!
So...
Oh.
Ding, 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 ding.
You do take, because it's the start of your turn, and this is the end, 2 poison damage. Mm-hmm. I need you to make a constitution save.
Oh, you're going to get a curse.
I mean, this could be a totally benign constitution save.
Sure.
16.
You are cursed. We'll deal with that in a little bit. Anyway, you have escaped the zombie who scratches you. He does. All right. He has rolled critical.
Twice?
Double critical.
So you take... you can't get cursed again. You take 10 slashing damage.
Oof. Okay.
Now it's your turn.
I'm going to cast Thunderstep to get away from him.
All right.
And how far back can I go? Because it's a...
It goes into the tunnel, so...
Yeah, so I'm going to move away to keep him in range of 10 feet. I'm going to move back one space.
Okay.
Cast Thunderstep.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to take a constitution saving throw with disadvantage.
Constitute with disadvantage. 10.
Yep, they fail.
All right.
So they're going to take a 3d10.
Whew.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. So let's go up to 17.
I'm pretty sure it's that first one, which is a 29.
Oh, 29 damage.
Which has
okay.
given him a heckin' explode.
Wait, but wait, there's more. And then they take hex damage as well.
He's gone.
He's exploded. He went... Well, I don't have a good explodey sound effect in my mouth, but you know, it's
explosion
like that wet
sound
no,
effect.
No, it's that wet sort of like.
Wait, yeah. Can I try?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, that is exactly what happens, and I'm like praising Modab. I'm like, oh, Modab, thank you for giving me the power to save myself from this being. And then I look towards myself and I go, oh. I don't feel too.
Oh, but no.
Oh, that really hurt. As I look at the scratches and my slashing damage, I'm like, oh, that I've never felt pain like this before, despite being nailed to a cross. I took no damage from that one.
They really went easy with that cross nailing, didn't they? Yes.
All right.
They don't cross nail like they used to.
No.
Back in the old days. They really stuck it to you.
Yeah.
Are you going to look at the things in the open chest?
Of course I am. I have nothing better to do.
All right. Also, make a constitution save.
Oh, boy. Not 20.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah, I remember when it was SPQR. Now it's just SPC.
Okay. Grappling bow. +1 to hit. Two-handed. Range 80 feet to 320 feet. 1d10 piercing. Arrows attached to rope and will latch onto surface to hit. Can be used to pull enemies closer at range if user can win a strength contest with their target. Ring of healing all your health. Heals all of your health. Only works when you already have all of your health minus 2 hit points. I am the party cleric. I will for sure keep the ring of healing all your health.
All right, roll me a survival check to find your crew.
11.
You know what? That's fine. You find Josh, and he also touches your face gently and heals your curse. So
I thank him, and I immediately, as he touches my face, there's a healing light that appears before me, and I use a d6 to heal myself.
Okay, you have healed yourself. Also, would you rather I let Oily Josh kiss your feet? Is that appropriate?
Sure.
I don't want to make any promises for Pontifex, but if any listeners happen to write a Josh curse curing fan fiction, there's a chance it might get read out on a coming bonus episode of the show.
Oh, 100%.
You know what? 100%. Any bad fan fiction we will read. And I mean, it might 100%. Not be bad, but you know, it's all bad fan fiction because it's, you know, so bad right. It's good.
Do you understand that right now you are inviting Bree and Fry and no, Pontifex no. fan fiction now? Just by saying oh, that, God. You gotta be careful.
No real people fan fiction. That is illegal.
So Josh kisses Dominique's feet then to healing
no,
light on myself?
No.
Okay.
We don't want to encourage the internet.
Okay. So I as Josh heals my curse, I'm gonna use that opportunity to cast healing light on myself as from one of my features, and that way I can heal up myself to 37 hit points from 45.
All right.
I think all we're proving in this is that we don't need Josh and we never needed Josh.
I mean, I needed Josh. I had a curse, man.
You lost one hit point.
I lost like 15 hit points.
Yeah, but you lost one when the curse happened.
True.
I also have removed curse because I literally took all healing spells with Hex and Thunderstep.
Look, nothing arrests.
You're slowly learning the true lesson here. That Josh is trying to teach us is that the magic was within us all along.
Exactly.
Josh helps those who help themselves.
You met along the way or something. Anyway, spirit, roll me a d4.
Oh, no, it's a 1.
All right, roll me again.
Okay. Oh, another 1? A 4?
Okay, 4's fine. You're like... really in the tunnels. This tunnel you're in is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And you come face to face with a earthworm that's like the same size as you.
It just sounds like dinner for a Kenku.
I know, right?
Well.
You sort of scoot back a little bit. And the earthworm follows, opening its, I don't know, it's got a, like, anus mouth.
Oh my god!
It's, I thought we weren't encouraging the internet fry!
I'm sorry!
Which is the worst kind of mouth.
It's a worm!
Anus thing is
it
possible.
It is just a sphincter and a sphincter.
Why?
Oh. I need you to roll initiative.
That is not the size of...
I hate
of
that token
Kenku.
So much.
The front of it is the size
it
of
just,
a Kenku.
It's the way that it droops is very...
Phallic?
Okay, no. Here.
It's reminiscent of something. I'll just put it that way.
I need to show you the picture I grabbed. Where is it? It's down here.
It reminds me of something else that has a sphincter.
No.
A potato?
Why do I get stuck
so,
with this?
So I grabbed this picture, and it turns out that the back of the worm is more appealing to look at than the front of the worm. But then I was like, I can't make this token the back of the worm. That's weird. That's the worm's body.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I see.
I mean, I wouldn't have been able to tell the difference, but...
Yeah. What do you mean, you... It's got its little head neck thing. It's got a
I'm not a wormologist. I don't know what...
His fetishes are entirely different.
Yeah.
This is apparently a picture of a giant Australian earthworm.
Oh.
He might recognize it then.
I didn't spend a lot of time digging through the ground finding worms.
Well, go find one.
I spend most of my time avoiding creepy crawly
get
things.
A giant worm. Go get one. They're in the ground.
Anyways, I have rolled.
Okay, that's fine. If I posted the back of the worm, someone would be like, that's a worm butt. Turn order.
So instead, we just get a worm dickhead.
Yeah. 100%. Sometimes you have to make choices, and they're not good choices.
Anyway, for those that don't know, the little choker collar is at the head of the worm. That's the side. If you had ever dissected one, you would know.
No, I've dissected a cow's eye, but not a worm.
Why'd you skip worms?
Come for the popes?
Fish for the anatomy of worms.
Because Texas only has, you know, clay in the ground. We don't have
But the important thing is, in Fry's D&D campaign, worm dissects you.
Yes.
It's true.
Worm dissects bird. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
All right, here we go. The worm is going to give you a weensy whack.
God.
12.
No.
Does that hit?
How do I know that?
Your AC.
13.
No, it does not.
Oh my god, just by one. Wow. Perfect. I somehow managed to avoid it. So I have a plan of what I want to do. I want to use one of my items that I have. The cheap egg. I want to use the cheap egg to bring... Oh no, it's an illusory mob. Ah, never mind. I thought it was an actual chickens.
Oh, that'd be so good.
So I wanted for them to start biting the worm.
Pecking at the worm!
Okay, let me replan my strategy then, because that was my idea.
We're supposed to have a plan?
Well, I don't know. Not really, no.
I mean, we definitely have time to think through what we're gonna do.
Okay, I want to try and use catnap. A spell that allows me to try and make the worms. It says, you make a calming gesture and up to 3 willing creatures of your choice that you can see within range. Full unconscious.
Willing creatures.
This worm is creatures. Unfortunately unwilling. No consent from the worm.
Okay, never mind. Okay, then I want to cast Mirror Image to have 3 illusory duplicates of myself appear in space. Until the spell ends,
how
the
many? Duplicate moves.
3. So I want to see if I can cast that.
We have this worm surrounded.
There we are. And just having them run around so the worm doesn't know which one
is. The worm is going to try to give a whack to somebody. The worm has whacked no one.
Oh, perfect. Yay.
It's
I'm
your
just getting
turn.
This very absurd image of like a giant worm surrounded by many birds. It's just it's tripping me out.
Amazing.
It's like a fever dream.
Okay. I want to use fire bolts to hurl some fire. So you hurl a mote of fire at a creature or object within range. So I want to try and burn this worm. As all of the birds are running around.
Okay.
And it says, on a hit, the target takes 1d10 fire damage. It's a cantrip, so it's not a spell. And then the spell damage increases by 1d10 when you reach 5 levels. So 2d10 on a hit. Oh, I rolled a 1 plus 6, so 7.
Yeah, that is a critical failure.
Oh, no.
All right, well, the earthworm is going to give someone a whack, maybe.
No.
No, he's not. This is the worst battle I've ever seen.
Oh, my God, it's
ever
just...
seen.
Can I just keep using cantrips? How does that work?
Cantrips, yeah, constantly.
Okay, well, I want to keep trying burning this worm, so I rolled a 5 plus 6 and 11.
Oh, 11 AC. To hit the worm.
Oh.
The worm's AC is higher than
no.
that.
No.
All right.
I need to change my strategy
whack.
Here.
No, he's what not going to whack.
Happening?
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
You guys are just staring at each other.
Go ahead. What is this combat? Oh, my God.
I guess she wasn't the early bird then.
Yeah. Do I just want to keep trying to do the same thing over and over?
Just this giant web just flailing around.
I'll change my cantrip. Maybe this cantrip will work better. I am going to... No, actually, no. Let's keep trying to use...
Burn it.
Yeah, let's try to burn it again. Let's see. Oh, no, that's an 11 again. Total.
All right, he's going to try and whack. No. Ooh, a 20. That hits somebody. Oh. I think you have to roll something to see if he hits an illusion or if he hits you.
What do I do?
Maybe like roll a d4, and if it's one, it's
your image. You must roll a 6 or higher to change your dex target to a duplicate. Oh, okay. Each time a creature targets with you in an attack, roll a d20 to determine whether the attack instead targets one of your duplicates. And I must roll a 6 or higher to change the attack target to a duplicate. Okay, so I'm just going to roll a d20. And if I roll a 6 or above, it doesn't hit. Okay, so it didn't hit me. It hit.
Does not hit yes. you. Which one of your duplicates should I delete?
The one in the middle, so that they're kind of flying here. Oh, man. Maybe there's a better strategy here.
Perhaps we can hear the screams and chirps.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, roll a perception check.
Rolling, how does it happen? Nope.
No.
That's just a 9.
You do not. So many cheeps.
The fail is all around.
Fails all around. All
right. Well, I guess it was your turn.
Oh.
Or, yeah, it was your turn. But then he misses the next turn. So go twice.
Okay, I go twice. I'm just going to keep trying and burn it. Like, eventually I have to roll something good with this spell, I assume. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
14 plus 6. 20.
That hits. Roll me some damage.
Okay, so that is 2d10. What is that? 9 plus 1, 10.
The worm is vulnerable to fire, and you lay into it with this cantrip, and it sizzles. Its flesh smells bad, and it becomes a pile of lifeless worm in front of you.
Oh, I want to say that spirit... Part fully dissolves into like crisp worm. We'll try to eat it because worms eat worms. So it's gonna try like well.
Yeah, I was gonna say it probably smells good.
It's not like fried chicken.
You gotta snack.
So here's the deal. You're going to eat a fried worm.
It's not gonna be. It's not gonna be like gone. You didn't immolate.
Okay,
it.
Perfect.
You're just gonna drag this. Giant, I don't know, like 10-foot-long worm behind you.
Yes, yeah, that's what she's gonna do. Like, she's gonna eat a little bit and then carry the rest of
it. She brought herself a snack
on her back.
Amazing.
All right, so roll survival to see if you can find your friends.
Survival.
That actually went the best out of any fight.
16 plus 2, 18.
18. You have found your friends. You are back. Which leaves Bonana.
Bonana, what do I do?
You get to play the last game that is left. You get to go to the last.
Wait, this has all been a game?
Yes. So you walk into this relatively clean and well-carved room.
Ooh.
It is a really fancy tomb for, like, rich people, and it's empty, except for a chest located against the wall opposite you.
I throw open the chest.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Throwing caution to the winds.
Okay, I need you to make a dexterity save.
That will not turn out well. Let's try it. I got a 5.
A prophet in his own time.
Take 12 piercing damage as spikes explode from the top of the chest.
Ooh. This is what I was waiting for.
But inside is a thing for you.
Ooh, what is inside? Okay. I have received the burning bush branch. Can be used to make an attack roll with one's wisdom modifier, dealing 2d8 plus 2 fire damage to a single target within 10 feet.
You can wave it in front of Spirit to let her hear the end of the message.
Yes. I take the burning bush branch in one hand and the magic olive branch in the other, and I start whirling. And I would like to use the olive branch to find my friends.
A very green night of you.
You have found your friends.
Friends! Remorans! Countrymen! Gather round and hear the tale of the burning bush that I found from a chest that did more damage somehow than me being crucified.
Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling great. I've just got spikes sticking out of
oh,
me.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm feeling more alive than I've ever felt before.
You know what? Josh is going to come over and he's going to be like, my son, let's help you with that. Please, be healed for 17 hit points.
17 hit points.
Oh, that brings me back to full health. Yeah, that's five more than I needed.
Practical question. When Oily Josh removed my curse, did I get my hit points back?
You
or is it not. Just curse removal?
He just okay. removed your curse.
That's
Thank
fine.
You, Oily fine. Josh.
It's a miracle.
Miracles.
He sort of does that thing where he boops your nose a little.
With his oily
That's
fingers.
So gross.
You're welcome, Internet.
Josh, in return for your healing, I would like to give you this scraping stick that I stole from a bathhouse once. It is used to scrape the oil off one's body once one has bathed in a Remoran bath. I would like you to use this to be less oily.
How dare you insult our prophet?
Because right now you just booked my nose and I can already feel the pimples coming up because of how oily it is.
Oh, Lord.
So as much as I think you are very holy, physically, you need to just get it together.
No, he knows how to bathe. He, you know, anoints himself in oil when he's done.
Too much moisturizer can be a bad thing.
He moisturizes.
Anyway. How are you all? What have we been doing?
Getting cursed by mummies.
Finding this bow that I don't know how to use.
Eating a worm. And it's just loudly eating this giant worm.
Walking down the actual correct path?
Yeah. You are
one
on
of us.
The correct path with Oily Josh, who every once in a while makes like a little choo, and like a bat comes down and they sort of go and then he goes down and follows the bat's instructions, you guess?
So he's a vampire now?
Hey. Josh, what's happening there? What's going on?
Josh, what are you doing?
I'm speaking to the bats that live here.
Okay. Got special abilities with animals, too. Is this one of your miracles?
This is definitely a miracle.
The okay. bat is a creature of the sky. It happens to live underground. It is no surprise that our Lord and Savior would have a communion with them as well. They are the least profane of all the animals that live beneath the earth.
But bats live beneath the ground and don't see the light of the Lord. They're night dwellers, though.
Yes, but the sky is transcendent in day or night.
I have been saying this all along. Will you listen to us?
And they touch the upper ground.
We can talk about theology later. We have some treasure to find.
You've been saying that for 3 years.
Well, you know what? Priorities. We need to get the message out, and then we can figure out what it is, and some kind of big council one day where we'll punch each other.
You can have underground parties again?
Yes.
No. Definitely not.
But right Never. Now, let's just focus on the mission at hand, and not worry about skies and grounds and what's holy and what's dirty and what's what. I mean, as long as we're talking
away.
About... As long as we're talking about what's dirty, what is spirit dragging around?
Spirit is gonna offer a little bit of the worm to you and say, what a...
No.
Okay, and keep eating more for me.
Oh, dear.
Josh just thinks that he should be able to speak to all of God's creatures. And that okay. you're thinking too hard.
Yeah. It's been a stressful day. That's fair.
Speak for yourself! I'm under the earth! I am barely holding myself together here.
Look, you didn't get cursed by a mummy, all right?
Oh, you too?
Yeah.
Josh, you must lead us to the actual treasure, because all I got was this stupid bush.
All right, he will. He was having the bats help you. And he leads you to a hole in the wall that's about 15 feet above the floor of the treasury.
Pontifex is edited by Greg Gassman. Greg is the host of the fabulous papal history podcast, Popular History, where you can also find cardinal numbers, ranking the cardinals of the Catholic Church, and coming up soon, Habemus Pointsum, where Greg and I will discuss all of the papal transitions that he loves so much. If you need to reach Greg, you can do so at popularhistory@gmail.com. Get it? It's like popular, but with an E for the popes.
If you would like to get in touch with us, you can reach us at pontifexpod@gmail.com, and we're pontifexpod on all social media platforms. If you'd like to support the show, consider subscribing to Pontifex on Patreon, checking out our research wishlist at tinyurl.com/pontifexwishlist, or making a one-time donation at paypal.me/pontifexpodcast. If you'd like to support us in other ways, rating and reviewing the show on iTunes makes a world of difference.